And we welcome you to the Friday morning show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. Part one of today's program features the author of a fascinating novel based on the life of environmentalist Rachel Carson. In part two of today's program, you'll be hearing from several members of the cast of the Racine Theatre Guild's new production of the musical Cabaret. Here's part one. And now I'm happy to say that I'm the way, no relation as far as I know with me. She spells it B-U-R-G.
I can spell it differently.
Yes. And Anne E. Berg is an award-winning author whose latest book is called Force of Nature, a novel of Rachel Carson. And I'm sure many of you who are environmentally which author Anne E. Berg has utilized the life and legacy of Rachel Carson in this novel intended primary marvelous book. Anne E. Berg, we welcome you to the morning show.
Well, thank you. Thanks for inviting me.
So tell our listeners about your own connection with the legacy of Rachel Carson and why you thought it was important.
I was really, all of my books come from something I've heard about or read about or wondered about. And I was starting to get anxious with all the floods and the fires and the climate. I myself was getting anxious. I'm like, well, maybe I'll read about it. I'll see what, you know, see if I learn something more about it, I'll get a handle on it. And I don't know, Rachel's name kept popping up. And all I knew about Rachel was that she was the mother of the environmental movement. And that's all I knew. And I had a picture in my mind of who she was, like, you know, with her hair. And I got curious, which is the next step after the wonder and the curiosity, a deeper curiosity sets in. And so I started reading her. I went back and reread Silent Spring, and then I read her a biography of her and another one. And the more I read about her, quite honestly, the more I fell in love with her. I mean, she is a wonderful person. She was a wonderful person, and she is a wonderful example. And I write middle grade books, but I feel that she has something to teach people at every age. So I just went exploring and decided to tell the whole story of Rachel, starting with her early experiences as a child, and then her pretty much as if it's a biography of her, but it's in her words, in poems, and I don't know, I just think she has a lot to teach the world.
Absolutely. And you write in such a beautiful and distinctive style. I wonder if you could explain the ways in which you tilt your writing or maybe frame it slightly differently when you really are thinking about relatively young readers. I mean, what sorts of choices do you end up making in terms of the words that finally end up on the page? I mean, in this specific matter of younger readers.
Well, first, I think that when I'm writing in verse, I'm writing in first person, so I have to kind of put myself in that place, almost channel the person or the character. Like for Rachel, it was different because she was a real person, so I was going with real. I've been around kids always. I kind of understand. And even when I read about Rachel, and I think that, you know, she was a solitary child or she was a quiet child, and so really, and you're really there, then those bigger words and bigger concepts are kind of simplified. Even I almost like I'm the person writing it, I'm the child saying it. And Rachel had some really deep thoughts, but she was still a child. So I don't know if I'm explaining it well, but it is a matter of channeling your own inner child or whatever age that you're writing with, if that makes any sense.
It makes a lot of sense. It really, really does. And of course, one of the choices you've made with this novel that I think is so powerful and compelling is the fact that you are taking us, among other things, into the early part of Rachel Carson's life, who she was as a youngster, and what she saw and experienced that helped shape her into this world-changing activist that she would...
Looking in the microscope or Rachel. And so she's immortalized by her pictures. And somehow it's like we exalt the deeds people do, but we discount their humanity. And they're recognized that these people that we admire and go on to do wonderful things are shaped by their experiences and their lives. And so it's really kind of something I always have thought about. And so it made no sense to start with her as already doing so, being such a, you know, a magnificent influencer. Mm. You know, it only made sense to show that she was a quiet child, a solitary child. And
one can collaboration there.
No, that's a question that's often asked, and I was just graced by having Sophie Blackall willing to do it. It's usually the publisher the publishing house that picks out the illustrators, and my books are not usually illustrated, but the nature of what we were writing about seemed so appropriate for delicate line drawings that Sophie did. So that was just a gift, having Sophie do my do the art and the beautiful cover that she gave Rachel.
Yes, and Rachel, that striking face. It's a wonderful, wonderful book that I hope many people will seek out, and not just young readers. Force of Nature, a novel springing from the life of the great Rachel Carson, and the author, Anne E. Berg. Thank you so much. It's great to speak with you today, and thank you for giving the world this truly beautiful novel. Best wishes to you.
Thank you, Greg. Thank you so much.
You're listening to The Friday Morning Show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg.
Welcome, bienvenue, welcome, stranger. Glücklich zu sehen, je suis enchanté. Happy to see you, bleib, rest, stay. Welcome, bienvenue, welcome. In cabaret, au cabaret, au cabaret.
That memorable song is the opening song for the Candor and Ebb classic musical Cabaret. Cabaret opened last weekend at the Racine Theatre Guild, and it runs for of the cast. And we begin with the MC for the Racine Theatre Guild's production, Matthew Matyshik. And Matthew, it's great to have you on the morning show. Thanks for making time for this.
Absolutely. I wouldn't miss it.
So tell us, first of all, your real-life connection with the musical Cabaret. I mean, if you've seen it on stage before or are a fan of the film, or in other ways, is this a musical and a story that has somehow been part of your life even ahead of being the MC for this production at the Theatre Guild?
Absolutely. So it's actually kind of sad. I've never seen the movie, and I've never actually seen a full production of it from start to end in person or on YouTube. Of course, I've watched many YouTube clips from various productions throughout the years, but never actually seen the full production. And technically, I still haven't, since I'm so busy running around, changing costumes and getting to my places. But I can hear everything, so now I'm getting the full story. But I've always loved the music and think of. I, of course, stream it. If it was an actual record, I probably would have ruined it by now just because of how much I've listened to it and how much I love the music. Great, complex character.
It kind of came to mind is that you had a difficult and crucial role in Stephen Sondheim's Sweeney Todd recently on the stage of the Theatre Guild. And that is, again, a crucial, important, challenging role, but also very, very brief. And you have essentially kind of a scene and a half early on, and then we don't see you again until the very, very end of the show. I should think it feels really, really different to be in a production now where you are on the stage so much and are so central to the whole story.
It is. It's very nice. You know, I love doing theater no matter how much time I spend on the stage. But like many actors, the longer all eyes are on me, the better. So it's much nicer to not die in the first 40 minutes and then be backstage reading a book for 2 hours waiting for the final scene. I much prefer this, where I barely have downtime between being on stage, running to my next place, and changing costumes. It's a refreshing change and one I very much enjoy.
Right. Well, I think you're doing a terrific job. Tell us, tell our listeners, that is, how you see the role of the MC. And we should mention to our listeners, cabaret, for the most part, unfolds in a rather decadent nightclub in Berlin, Germany, in the early 1930s, with the rising horror of Nazism not on the horizon, but already very much in the air. Tell us how you see the role of the narrator within this intriguing story.
Absolutely. So the narrator, the MC, he first brings people in, tells them to leave their troubles behind, get comfortable, relax, enjoy the story, you know, almost intoxicating, inviting them in. And then he's kind of leading the story along, commenting on what's happened, folding. But as the show continues to go on, it starts to get darker and darker. And even though the MC is very much a person, one thing that I also look at him as is he's kind of just always in the background. You never know where he's going to pop out again. He's always looming, which I kind of look at as background, but you can feel it creeping and kind of starting to grow. And that's kind of how I also see the MC. Of course, I choose to play the MC, you know, at the end. He's, of course, very much against the rise of fascism, Nazis, of course. But he's still kind of just there, looming, lurking, waiting for somebody to arrive.
Several of the most intriguing songs in the score to sing. I wanted to hear a brief little excerpt from two of them, but give you first a chance to talk about them. One of them is a song called If You Could See Her Through My Eyes. Explain to our listeners the context within which the MC sings this song.
So this song, it's very much talking about how we may look at relationships from the outside and not understand what the person sees in that other person. And you would never truly know until you're in that person's shoes and you're looking at them and you're understanding them. Or anywhere in life, we look at relationships and we may not fully understand them, but if we were in that person's shoes, we may actually understand them and what they see in that other person.
Let's hear just a little bit of this song, If You Could See Her Through My Eyes. And this is, again, from the 1998
Would the ladies in the world? That's just a first impression. What good's a first impression? If you knew her like I do, it would change your point of view. You wouldn't wonder at all if you could see her through my eyes. I guarantee you would fall like I did when we're in public together. I hear society moan, but if they could see her through my eyes, maybe they'd leave us alone. There you are, my
such wonderful writing, and just one of the delicious songs from Candor and Ebb's musical Cabaret. There is another side to the MC, a much darker, sadder side, which we hear in kind of a world-weary song towards the very end of the show called I Don't Care Much. Explain the context within which this song is sung.
Absolutely. So we're nearing the end of the show, and specifically Sally Bowl, who is the main female lead of the show, her life is really starting to fall apart. And so the MC kind of comes out, and specifically in our production, we have Sally stay on stage, and she's pondering all her life choices while the MC is singing how he doesn't care much. And, you know, it's really looked at a reflection of how Sally's feeling as she's having to make these life choices and her world starting to come and crash down around her. And as we're getting closer and closer to Nazism, this sense of defeat that's really brought out in this song is how I really...
I don't care much, sung by the MC in Candor and Ebb's Cabaret. Matthew Matyshek is our MC. Matthew, I know that it has to be exciting not only to be undertaking this major role and in many ways a dream role, but also to be sharing the stage with a really fine cast, including some spectacularly talented Kit Kat girls with whom you get to dance, and the guys of the Kit Kat Club as well, and of course the Sally Bowles of Kaylee Annabelle and more. That has to make a really big difference, I should think, in terms of what it means to perform a role like this.
Oh, absolutely. I am astounded by how powerful some of the people I get to share the stage with are in these roles night after night, and it's such a privilege to share the stage. One of the ways the director has staged the show is that a lot of the times the cast is around the edges of the stage watching what's going on, so I get to watch Kaylee Annabelle, who is our Sally Bowles, every night. I get to watch her, told her that it is such a privilege just to be able to listen and watch her performance, and even if I can't see her face, I can just tell, you know, how much she is embodying the role of Sally Bowles.
Hmm. By the way, your husband, Matt, is also in Matthew Matyshek, the MC for the Racine Theatre Guild's production of Cabaret. Matthew, thank you for taking time out of a busy life and busy week to the Friday morning show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. We, of course, are talking about the current production at the Racine Theatre Guild of Candor and Ebb's marvelous musical Cabaret.
The knitting, the book, and the broom. It's time for a holiday. Life is a cabaret, old chum. Come to the cabaret. Come taste the wine, come hear the band, come blow your horn, start celebrating. Right this way, your table's waiting. What good's permitting some prophet of doom to wipe every smile away? Life is a cabaret, old chum, so come to the
And now I'm very pleased to have in the studios of WGTD three members of the cast of the Racine Theatre Guild's production of Cabaret, joining Matthew Matyshek, who we were just hearing from. We have our Sally Bowles with us, Kaylee Annabelle. We have our Fraulein Schneider, Betty Peterson. And we have our Herr Schultz, Dan Venny. And we welcome all three of you to the morning show. Thanks for making the time to be here this morning.
Absolutely.
Thank
Good
you.
Morning.
One of the things I would love to hear first from each of you is your own personal history with this show. That is, as you came to be auditioning and ultimately cast in our production of Cabaret, what experience did you bring to it in terms of having seen the show, been in the show before, seen the film, or did you come to it largely as a blank slate? Betty, let's start with you.
Well, I have seen the movie version of it, and my husband and I have the Broadway series, and it was one of the in Milwaukee, and a few years back they did a production, so we saw it then as well. So, oh, and I think I saw it when Prairie High School did it quite a few years ago as well. So I've seen quite a few different productions, and Dan and I were on the play reading committee that selected this. And when it came up as a possibility, I went, "Oh yeah, this is bucket here for me. This is something I really truly, it's real high on my list of roles I would love to perform, and have been just thrilled to be able to do it."
I read it for the play reading committee, and the movie and the play are not quite the same. So I didn't even really know about Herr Schultz, and I thought, well, who's this guy? And I thought I could play that. I mean, I possibly could fit that role. So I'm happy to be doing it. It's very nice for me, but that's the only experience I had was the movie.
Very good. How about you, Kaylee?
Oh boy, Cabaret is one of my favorite shows. It has been for a long time. I heard some of the songs growing up when I was younger, of course, and then I had the opportunity to do a production of it when I was at Carthage for college. We did, I believe, my sophomore year. I could be wrong. Anyway, I was one of the Kit Kat Club girls, and I just had the most wonderful experience, and that's what really solidified my love of the show. It's so impactful, and my director at the time was also Jewish, so he taught us a lot about the culture and things, and that's what really, you know, had an impact on me. So ever since then, I've loved the show. I've only seen clips of the movie with Liza because I don't want to, like, watch too much when I'm doing a role, too. But those are really my only experiences with it personally. I've just really enjoyed the whole show since I've known it. So
right.
When it came up, I really wanted to do it.
Yeah, and here you are. Yes. I remember that production at Carthage quite vividly. What would your rough estimate be about what year that was?
Oh, boy. I'm guessing probably 2011, 2012, around there.
So you graduated roughly 2014 or
2013,
something?
2013, yeah.
2013, okay. So it has been a while, and it must feel interesting for you, having played one of the Kit Kat girls, to suddenly be in this other role instead.
Mm-hmm. Of course, if you know the show and you're a music theater actress, of course, why would you not want to play Sally Bowles at some point? So yeah, it was a great step up for me, I guess. Different perspectives on the role and different songs, you know, that I didn't get to do last time that I get to do this time, and vice versa. So it's been really fun.
Terrific. I was also thinking, Kaylee, the last time you were on the stage of the Theater Guild, which I also think was the first thing you did at the Theater Guild.
Correct.
Was a role that couldn't be more different. Explain to our listeners what your previous role was at the Theater Guild.
My previous role was Scuttle in The Little Mermaid, the seagull sidekick sort of character. Very funny, charming, not necessarily the most intelligent. I also had him do a slight bit of an accent, but totally different. A lot of fun and upbeat, and this one is... Oh, she's also fun, but not quite so upbeat.
No, and there's certainly a darker cast this story, for sure. We're talking about the current production of Cabaret at the Racine Theater Guild, which opened last weekend, runs this weekend, and one more weekend after that. So one of the hallmarks of this production, I think it's fair to say, is the remarkable chemistry between Betty Peterson and Dan Venny, playing the roles of Fräulein Schneider and Herr Schultz. And as Kaylee kind of alluded to before, this is maybe a facet of the musical, kind of a subplot that sometimes gets forgotten when people think about the show. They think about the splashy production numbers and the triumphant anthems and so on. And oh my word, in so many ways, this relationship between these two characters is as important as anything in this show. And certainly that's playing out in this particular production. Wonder if each of you could take a crack at describing both these characters and their relationship and how it's handled in Candor and Ebb's musical.
Ladies first.
Okay. Well, Fräulein Schneider... she is the landlady. She has this whole... And she is, there's a, Clifford, our author, the love interest of Sally, and Herr Schultz is one of the people who live there, and then another one of the boarders is Fräulein Kost, who is a lady of the evening, shall we say. So she has these different relationships with these people, and at the beginning she's kind of like, you know, my life was really good before I had a lot of money, and over the years I lost it through various things with the wars and the other things that went on, and so I'm working really hard to just keep my head above water, having the rumors, and I'm now doing all the cleaning and cooking and all that kind of stuff that I didn't when I was young. And then she has this gentleman, Herr Schultz, whom she's very enamored with. And so at the beginning, she's really kind of an upbeat, except, you know, she's kind of upbeat and laissez-faire kind of thing. And then as the show goes on and she notices all of the Nazism and everything that's going on in the neighbor, in the area, in the city, and in politics, it changes her, and she becomes frightened for her survival and for her ability this way. But her mindset has changed quite a bit, and in the end, it's rather sad and tragic what she, you know, ends up in her life to survive.
Right. And of course, there's really, although this is in a sense a fictional story, of course, there's nothing fictional or that's not the stuff of fantasy. That is a real life situation that was faced by countless people in this particular period. Dan Venny, tell our listeners about your character, Herr Schultz, and his relationship with Fräulein Schneider.
Yes. Well, Herr Schultz is an elderly widower, and he runs a fruit stand on the Nollendorfplatz. He is doing okay financially, I think, but he doesn't have that much, and he does share that with various people, with Sally and with Fräulein Schneider. But he's a very kind man, his heart is big. Does not see Nazism as a real threat. Throughout most of the show, he's an optimist. He knows that this will go away. Don't worry about it. And it does kind of overpower the whole theme of the story and sort of wreaks havoc with the relationship, but it is a very sweet, loving, tender relationship between the two of them. And it is a story within a story.
Mm-hmm.
I have friends who came and said, oh, that's so dark, but your part is like a whole different thing. And it's like a whole different story. It really is, because the Kit Kat Club is a very different feeling than when Fräulein Schneider and Herr Schultz are together, and the emotions that are there, and there's truly love between them.
Absolutely. Say something about the song that we'll just hear a little bit of, the song Married, that you primarily sing, and Betty joins you by the end of it.
Well, it's his plea to her, he asks her to possibly consider marriage, and he tells her how it can change things so much. The world will be a different place because of this one word, married. And it is a beautiful song, and I'm thrilled to be able to sing it to my love interest, Fräulein Schneider. So it's really a touching piece within the whole story.
Here it is. Here's a little bit of this lovely song called Married.
Because you have never been married. It frightens you. Believe me, it can work wonders. How the world can change. It can change like that, due to one little word. Married. See a palace rise from a two-room flat, due to one little word. Married. And the old despair that was often there suddenly ceases to be. For you wake one day, look around and say,
somebody wonderful married me.
You don't think it would be better simply to go on as before?
No.
Such a delicious moment from this score. So tender, the song Married. You know, it is just has to feel like a real privilege to be able to get to do a role like this that you get to bring so much to.
Oh my gosh. It's been a joy. It's a role that is so meaty. I also become extremely emotional. I got emotional hearing that song.
Yeah, no, so, for sure.
Yeah, it's And I start off in the beginning, the first act, I'm happy and excited and thrilled to be around my lady love. But by the time the end of the first act comes and into the second act, my emotion changes like night and day. And it's really hard to get out of that funk as an actor.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. As his optimism and maybe we wouldn't even call it naivete to a point as that begins to be shattered.
Yeah.
That's a hard thing to watch, and I'm sure it is a hard thing to perform as well. And you do it beautifully.
Thank you.
Betty Peterson, one of several powerful songs that you get to sing in this show is the song What Would You Do? Before we hear just a little, you set up the circumstances under which Fraulein Schneider sings this.
Okay. Herr Schultz is Jewish, and I have an acquaintance, someone who has been a friend of mine, Herr Ludwig, Ernst Ludwig, who is a Nazi, comes to our engagement party at the end of the first act and says, I would advise you to not marry this man. Think of your welfare. And one of my hardest lines that it's just when I say, you know, but what about Herr Schultz's welfare? And then Herr Ludwig said he is not a German. Just because he's Jewish, they think he's not German. And I says, but he was born there, here. And he says, no, he's not. He's not a German. And so in the second act, I have to go and break Herr Ludwig's heart. I mean, Herr Schultz's heart. And then we've been given this beautiful fruit bowl from Sally and Cliff, crystal fruit bowl. And the scene starts with my returning it to them because I can't keep it because it's an engagement present and I break the engagement. And Clifford says, well, you can't do this. You can't break up with him. Come on. I says, oh, yeah, I guess I have to. I can. You know, in What Would You Do is like there's a big part where, after the song, I talk about all the things that went on and that how I survived all of the atrocities beforehand and what's going to come next with the Nazis and communism. I'm going to get through that because this is the only world I know. And so I have to give up on my love. I'm singing this song and I have Cliff and Sally just drawing all this emotion in and support and concern and love as I'm singing this song about, you know, what would you do? I'm a German. He's a Jew. I could lose everything if I marry this man.
Right. And, of course, it's the easiest thing in the world for someone from the sidelines to make all kinds of pronouncements about what the right thing is to do. But when you are living that life, when it is you and your own reality and what you could gain and what you could lose, that's kind of what this song is all about. Here's a little bit of What Would You Do, sung by the character of Fräulein Schneider.
Fräulein Schneider, you can't give up that way.
Oh, yes, I can. That is easy to say. Easy for you. Fight. And if you fail, what does it matter? You pack your belongings, you move to Paris. And if you do not like Paris, where? That is easy for you. But if you were me, with time rushing by, what would you do? With the clock running down, what would you do? The young always have the cure, being brave, being sure, I'm free. But imagine if you were me, alone like me, and this is the only world I know. Some rooms to let, the sum of a lifetime, even so. I'll take your advice. What would you do? Would you pay the price? What would you do? Suppose simply keeping still means you'll manage until the end. What would you do, my brave young friend?
You know, it's not often that you can pack so much meaning into a song. When, you know, there's also a melody to be served and lyrics to rhyme and so on. I mean, in many cases, the message being delivered can sometimes be just ever so slightly undermined in the interest of creating a beautiful song. But it's amazing how much this song says and how beautifully. And you sing it so poignantly, Betty.
Thank you.
My compliments to you. Sally Bowles, as you alluded to earlier, Kaylee, what a character. What a privilege to be able to perform a role like this. How would you describe Sally Bowles?
Oh, boy. She's complicated, but not really. She's very young. She's British. She's a cabaret singer, found her way in Berlin somehow. The script in this show does not tell you how, but there are backgrounds that you could try to infer. Anyway, she's a young British cabaret singer in Berlin, just making her way and trying to survive, basically. She is having a grand old time in the nightlife and living it up, but she is doing what she needs to also survive in this climate and make her way in the world. She's a little naive. She doesn't follow politics. It doesn't affect her. Obviously, she's not a German. She's not from the country. She's not Jewish. So it really, she's the political equivalent of, you know, an ostrich. She just doesn't affect her. It's ignorance is bliss on that point. But she's got her own problems. Yeah.
She sings wonderful songs throughout the show, including Maybe This Time. How would you frame this particular anthem?
Oh, boy, it's a gorgeous song. It really is. Sally meets Cliff in the Kit Kat Club where she is performing, and she loses her job and her living space, so she tags along with Cliff and talks her way into his room, and they have a jolly good time together. Fast forward a while, she finds out that she's pregnant, doesn't know who the father is entirely, but tells Cliff, and he said, you know what, maybe he doesn't want it, but she's never been in this situation with a man before who actually cares about her, and she cares about him. And that changes things. So this is the song of her working through those emotions and what she may or may not do.
Here's a little bit of Maybe This Time. Unlike the other things you've listened to, which are from the 1998 revival recording, this is in concert Christian Chenoweth, whose voice reminds me a bit of yours, Kaylee. So that's who we're going to hear singing a little bit of Maybe This Time.
Maybe this time I'll be lucky. Love won't hurry away. He will hold me fast. I'll be home at last. Not a loser anymore.
like the last time and the time before. Everybody loves a winner, so nobody loved me. Lady peaceful, lady happy, me, all the odds are, they're in my favor. Something's bound to begin. It's gonna happen, happen sometime. Maybe this time I'll win.
So it is weekend 2 and weekend 3 of performances of Cabaret at the Racine Theatre Guild. The box office number is 262-633-4218 if you would like to secure tickets for this weekend or the next. And Betty Peterson, Dan Venny, Kaylee Annable, on the morning of the opening of this weekend's worth of performances, I really appreciate you getting up bright and early to be part of the morning show today. It was wonderful to talk with you. Best wishes to you and the whole cast and crew of Cabaret.
Thank you so much, Greg.
It's going to be partly sunny today. Rain is likely to develop this morning. We could see it this afternoon as well. Some storms could be severe. A high today of 80 degrees, cooler near the lake. This is WGTDHD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn and Lake Geneva, NPR News and classical music on your gateway to public radio at exactly 9.